Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Practical Parsha Podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, and I hope you are well. Wow, it just seems like a few moments ago I was sitting back here in the seat in the Practical Parsha Podcast studio, but another week has flown by, and I'm sitting here with you to share thoughts on this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor. I'm excited, and before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or just would like to reach out to say hello, introduce yourself, don't be shy. My email address is rabbishlomokohn@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week's Parsha is Parshas Emor. Just to give a quick overview of the Parsha, Parshas Emor starts off with the laws of the Kohanim, the priests who worked in the tabernacle and the temple, the Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash. And in general, the priests, the Kohanim, had certain prohibitions that they weren't allowed to become tamei, to defile themselves to a dead person. Obviously, except for close relatives, the seven close relatives to be specific. And the Parsha starts off with the laws of the Kohanim. The Parsha continues with the laws of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, which was more stringent than a regular Kohen, that a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, is not allowed to be metame himself, not allowed to become impure to anybody, only to a mace mitzvah, somebody, a corpse that's found on the side of the road. Then he has obligation to bury him. But other than that, he does not become tame, does not become impure. The Parsha continues with the mitzvah to safeguard the sanctity of the offerings and the truma, that they also as well cannot become tamei, is to be treated properly. Tells us about the truma, about blemished animals which cannot be offered on the mizbeach, on the altar. And we have the mitzvah in this week's parsha of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, sanctifying God's name, and the prohibition of desecrating God's name. And we are going to get into that a little bit today in this week's podcast. The Parsha continues with the festivals. Pesach, the Omer, which we're in the middle of right now, counting the Omer. Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. And finally, the Parsha finishes off with the menorah, talking about the showbread, the lechem aponim, and the story about the blasphemer. The story where a person cursed God, and how God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to deal with him. The first idea I want to share with you today takes us to the beginning of the Parsha, where we're discussing the laws of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. Now, the Kohanim, the priests, they were the spiritual teachers of the Jewish people. And the Jewish nation as a whole had different obligations to support them, right? Because they would teach the Jewish people. They would be the teachers, the Torah teachers. They would work in the temple. They didn't have a portion in the land of Israel. But rather, the rest of the tribes had to support them through tithes, through different parts of every animal had to be given to the Kohanim. The oil, all the olives that were pressed, a certain percentage had to be given to the Kohanim. Wool that was sheaved would have to be given to the Kohanim. So all their needs were taken care of from the Jewish people. Now, the Kohanim, in a general level, were a spiritual people. They were on a higher level than maybe the rest of the nation in a certain way. And they had certain prohibitions. They were not able to become impure, and they had to be careful. They had to eat the truma in sanctity, the karbanos, they had to eat it in sanctity. They had to keep themselves pure so they could do their job in the Beis HaMikdash and eat all these sacrificial foods. Now, the Parsha continues with the laws of the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol was on an even more exalted level than the rest of the Kohanim. He was the spiritual father of the Jewish nation. Now, it's interesting. If you look at the verses that describe the Kohen Gadol, there's an interesting usage of words. The first one that we're going to read is chapter 21, pasuk 8. V'kidashto ki ezlechem elohecha hu makriv kodesh yeloch ki kodesh ani Hashem mikadeshchem. It says, you shall sanctify him, for he offers the food of your God. He shall remain holy to you, for holy am I, Hashem, who sanctifies you. And if you look in the verses throughout the next chapter that describe the Kohen Gadol, we see that the Torah repeats a certain phrase that it refers to the Kohen Gadol, that God is sanctifying him. For example, we see in verse 16, it says, V'lo yichal zaro ba'amav ki ani Hashem mikadesho. It says in the verse, thus shall he not desecrate his offspring among his people, for I am Hashem who sanctifies him. And we see again in chapter 22, verse 9, referring to the Kohen Gadol, it says, Vishamru esh mishmarti v'lo yisu v'lo yiso alav chet v'mesu vo ki yichalu ani Hashem mikadeshem. They shall protect my charge and not bear a sin thereby and die because of it, for they will have desecrated it. I am Hashem who sanctifies them, referring to the Kohanim. And we see again in verse 16, it says, V'yisu osam avon Hashem ba'achlom es kodshehem ki ani Hashem mikadeshem. V'yisiu oisam avoin ashama ba'ochlom es kodshehem ki ani Hashem mikadshem. It says, and they will cause themselves to bear the sin of guilt when they eat their holies, for I am Hashem who sanctifies them. It's referring to the Kohanim while eating the Truma. So we see again and again in the Parsha, when referring to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and referring to the Kohanim, we see that Hashem is the one that sanctifies them and sanctifies them. But if we go back to the beginning, the first verse that we read, there's something interesting about it. It says, V'kidashtoi ki eslechem elokecha u'makriv kodesh yelach ki kadosh ani Hashem mikadeshchem. You shall sanctify him, the Kohen, for he offers the food of your God. He shall remain holy to you, for holy am I, God who sanctifies you. Again, he shall remain holy to you, for holy am I, God, who sanctifies you. It's interesting. Everywhere else, we refer to the Kohanim, to the Kohen Gadol, that Hashem is the one who sanctifies him. So wouldn't it be appropriate here for the Torah to say, to finish the verse, who sanctifies him? Right? Why is it saying here, he shall remain holy to you, for holy am I, God, who sanctifies you? Right? Everywhere else it says, who sanctifies him? Right? What's the difference? What's the lesson that we can learn out from this? We know that the Torah tells us to make for ourselves a teacher. Right? Pirkei Avos, it says, Ethics of the Fathers, it says, Aseh Lecha Rav. You should accept a teacher upon yourself. You need to have a Rebbe, a rabbi, a teacher, someone who could teach you Torah, could lead you in the right way, someone who could mentor you to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, at the same time, when it comes to having a Rebbe, having a rabbi, having a mentor, the Torah gives us guidelines on how we should look at the people we look up to. Do we look at them like we want to be them? Do we look at them as they're the ones who are giving us our connection to spirituality? The Torah tells us that there's a proper connection we're supposed to have to our spiritual mentors and teachers. Sure, it should be a strong connection. We should, you know, you want to make that connection to have someone who's a mentor to you, who could show you what to do, who could even tell you when you make mistakes. And you want to have a healthy sense of attachment. But from this week's Parsha, from the Pasuk here, of how the Torah refers to the Kohanim, there's a distinction that has to be made. Now, before you say, oh, I'm saying against, you know, keep your distance from the rabbis, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to have a strong connection with your rabbi, with your Rebbe. You know, I personally, you know, I'm blessed to have a very strong connection with my Rebbe from Yeshiva, and my Rebbeim, actually, not just one Rebbe, many teachers. And one thing I've seen, though, is that sometimes people look at their teachers and they want to be them. And that's not what the Torah wants us to do. The Torah wants us to be ourselves. You know, there's a phenomenon out there called hero worship. You have a baseball player, and the kid wants to be the baseball player. You know, when they play ball with their friends, they pretend, you know, I'm this player and you're that player, because in their mind, that's who they want to be. And Rabbi Twersky brings down in his commentary on Chumash that hero worship, you know, which is also found in cults, comes from a lack of self-esteem. That when people feel that they're not good enough and they're not worth anything, the only thing that they can do is to try to find someone who is worthy and who is great to attach themselves to them, right? That's why you find many times that these cult leaders are people who try to convince people, very charismatic. And by, you know, these people who worship, this hero worship, when they have the person they're looking up to, since they don't feel so good about themselves inside, so they latch on to the person they're trying to look up to and become totally attached. But really what they're missing out is that they themselves have a tremendous worth. They themselves could be great. And the lesson of this week's parsha, from the fact that the Torah tells us that it's I, Hashem, who sanctify you, meaning the only reason that the Kohanim are sanctified is because God has sanctified them. But ultimately, it's Hashem who's going to sanctify you. And every person has to recognize and realize that their connection to Hashem and the true potential they can reach is not necessarily fully dependent on, you know, a rabbi, is not fully dependent on hero worship, but rather it's a healthy connection to a Rebbe, to a mentor, but it shouldn't get to a place, to a point where it's this thought in our minds that it's the mentor, the rabbi, this hero is the one who is going to be making us holy, is going to be making us great. And I think the practical lesson that we can take out of this is that in the end of the day, we need to have a connection to a Rebbe. We have to have a rabbi and we have to have a mentor, and it should be a strong connection. And it should be someone we should look up to. We should have people that we look up to spiritually. We should have those spiritual mentors. It's something we must have and we need to have. But the distinction that I'm making is that the connection to that person is not the ends. It's just a means to an ends. It's to help you become the best person you can be. Just by having that connection alone is not going to make you, or, you know, it's not going to make you the person you could be. You have to realize within yourself that you can take the attributes of your teachers, take all the good things from your mentors, and apply it to your own life to become the best person you can be. And I think that's the healthiest way to go about it. You know, many times when I was in yeshiva, I used to see people where they would, you know, they had a strong connection to a Rebbe, and they would try to be that person. They would try to really just like copy everything that rabbi was doing. And it always bothered me because, you know, everybody is different. And everyone has different things that they have, their strengths and their weaknesses. And really, you know, you don't want to copy someone else. You can take aspects of your mentors. You know, there's a certain thing that your rabbi does and you want to apply it to yourself. That's great. Or something that this mentor does and you want to also do that. That's great. But just to copy somebody else, it never struck me as the right thing to do. And I think that's what this idea is over here that Rabbi Twersky is sharing with us. That when it comes to growth and spirituality and mentors in general, we have to have that self-esteem and we have to have that sense of self to realize that we're our own person. Now, obviously, you have to follow the guidelines of the Torah. You can't just say, I'm my own person. I can do whatever I want. No, it doesn't go like that. And you have to have a Rebbe to keep you in check and to keep you in bounds. But there's a certain realization that you are yourself as well. And the spiritual connection that you have to your Rebbe, your rabbi, your mentor has to be a strong one, but has to be a healthy one, with the recognition that you want to try to gain what you can gain from a person, but ultimately it's inside of each and every one of you, me, you, to determine how we're going to get to our spiritual potential. So, and that's what we see from this week's parsha, and the fact that the Torah changes the wording from you shall sanctify him to who sanctifies you. It's helping us remember that ultimately it's our relationship with Hashem. It's God who sanctified the Kohanim. It's God who has made, the teachers of our people, the teachers, and has raised them up spiritually. And therefore, it's also God who can make us holy as well, to realize our self-worth, to help us get to our true potential. So this is a little bit of a tedious idea. It's realizing that we need to have mentors, and it needs to be strong. But at the same time, to realize that we're our own person as well. That it's up to us to really get to where we need to be. A person could have the most holiest rabbi and mentor in the world, but if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we'll never get to where we're supposed to be. The second idea I wanted to share with you takes us further into the parsha, where the pasuk reads as follows: V'lo yisachalu Hashem kodshi v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Ani Hashem mikadeshchem. You shall not desecrate my holy name. Rather, I should be sanctified among the children of Israel. I am Hashem who sanctifies you. Now, this is the mitzvah and the prohibition of Kiddush Hashem, which is sanctifying God's name. That's the mitzvah. And the prohibition of desecrating God's name, which is Chilul Hashem. Now, what does that mean exactly? What is a Kiddush Hashem? And what is a Chilul Hashem? Now, I'm sure we all know Kiddush, a Kiddush and Shul. Oh, a Kiddush is great. Now, I'm not referring to that type of Kiddush. I'm referring to a Kiddush Hashem. A Kiddush Hashem is sanctifying the name of God. And the most easy way of understanding that is that if a Jew acts in an elevated manner, does what he's supposed to do, and people look at him or her, that, wow, a Jewish person acts in such an elevated and esteemed way. That's a Kiddush Hashem, right? When the Jewish people act in a way that the nations of the world look at them and say, wow, what a special people. That is something which is sanctifying the name of God. Because what makes us special is that we listen to God. We have the Torah. We follow the mitzvos. So when people look on the people of God and say, look how special they are, how they treat each other, how they treat people, what they do, that's a Kiddush Hashem. That's sanctifying the name of God. It's bringing honor to Hashem. Because we're doing His will, and we're showing the rest of the world of how a person can live, how a person can be when they follow Hashem. On the flip side, if people look at a Jewish person or the Jewish nation, God forbid, and they say, that's how a Jew acts? That's how the Jewish nation acts? And that's how God's people act? They could do X, Y, and Z, those horrible things? That's a Chilul Hashem. That's a desecration of God's name. Now, the biggest sanctification of God's name that a person can have is giving up one's life for Hashem, giving up one's life for God. Now, in Judaism, there's a stress. We always focus on life. We want life. We want to live. We value life. We treasure it. And normally, if someone would come to you and say, eat not kosher, or else I'll kill you. The Torah tells us you should eat not kosher, right? You do that sin to save your life in normal circumstances, meaning to say as if it's regular times. But there's three averos where we are commanded to give up our life. That if someone says this to you, to me, to either murder someone, commit adultery, or to do idol worship, we have to give up our lives for the sake of God and not do those sins. Those are the three cardinal sins which every Jew has to be willing to give up their life. And in fact, in the Shema, every day we say, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. We have to love Hashem our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our resources. And the commentaries tell us that when it says with all our soul, it's referring to the mitzvah of Mikadesh Shem Shamayim. And over the centuries of Jewish existence, thousands of years that we've been around, there have been Jews that have given up their lives to be Jews, to die as Jews. And the great philosophers say that if someone's not willing to give up their life, if there's not something that a person is willing to give up their life, then there's nothing that they're willing to live for as well, right? The value of life is the fact that you have something to die for as well. And that's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, to die for the sake of Hashem. Now, obviously, we want to live. We want to, you know, go on for many, many years to be around, to do mitzvos, to have the connection to Daven. But there's an aspect of Judaism that we have to think about every day. We think about it two times a day in the Shema. This idea that if it is ever presented to us, we would be willing to do it. It's not something easy, but we say it every day in the Shema. Something to think about. But what I also want to do today, I want to talk about this idea of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name, and Chilul Hashem, desecrating God's name, when it has to do with no one else. So I just explained before how Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name, and Chilul Hashem, desecrating God's name, has to do with other people, the non-Jews looking at us, you know, giving up our life. But what I want to talk about now, that there's a level of Kiddush Hashem, part of it as well, of sanctifying God's name and desecrating God's name, has to do between you and God. Nobody else has to know about it. And when is that? When you do something because God told you to do it, you're sanctifying the name of God. And if, God forbid, you decide to do something that you're not supposed to do, and you do it even though God said not to do it, that's a Chilul Hashem. That's desecrating God's name. So it comes out from this, that this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is not just when we're around other people, it's when we're by ourselves as well. Because when we talk about giving honor to Hashem, it's our own actions as well bring honor, or could, God forbid, desecrate the name of God as well. So the next time we're presented with an opportunity of to do something or to not do something, to do a mitzvah or to not do a mitzvah, and maybe we need that push to do it. We need something to get us over the hill, to get us to the finish line. We should remember that it's not just us doing that mitzvah, but it's also the fact that after we do the mitzvah, we're bringing tremendous honor to Hashem. We're bringing glory to Him because we're doing His will. We're not doing it for any other reason, right? We're not shaking a lulav and esrog because it's cool, it's stylish. We're doing it solely for the honor of Hashem. And that in of itself brings honor to God's name, because now you yourself internalize, you're doing an action that's no other reason than that God told you to do it. And that's a beautiful thing, because people only think about this mitzvah as something that has to do with other people. But it has just as much to do with ourselves and God. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomocone@gmail.com. Have a great day.